What a child, a great warrior, and yet a stumbling little child. What have I done now? I asked in sore perplexity.
Some day you shall know, John Carter, if we live, but I may not tell you. And I, the daughter of Mors Kazak, son of Tardos Mors, have listened without anger, she soliloquized in conclusion.
Then she broke out again into one of her gay, happy, laughing moods, joking with me on my prowess as a Thark warrior, as contrasted with my soft heart and natural kindliness.
I presume that you should accidentally wound an enemy, you would take him home and nurse him back to health, she laughed.
That is precisely what we do on Earth, I answered, at least among civilized men. This made her laugh again. She could not understand it, for, with all her tenderness and womanly sweetness, she was still a Martian, and to a Martian the only good enemy is a dead enemy, for every dead foeman means so much more to divide between those who live. I was very curious to know what I had said or done to cause her so much perturbation a moment before, and so I continued to importune her to enlighten me.
No, she exclaimed, it is enough that you have said it, and that I have listened. And when you learn, John Carter, and if I be dead, as likely as I shall be ere the further moon has circled Barsoom another 12 times, remember that I listened and that I smiled.
It was all Greek to me, but the more I begged her to explain, the more positive became her denials of my request. And so, in very hopelessness, I desisted. Day had now given away to night, and as we wandered along the great avenue, lighted by the two moons of Barsoom, and with Earth looking down upon us out of her luminous green eye, it seemed that we were alone in the universe, and I, at least, was content that it should be so. The chill of the Martian night was upon us, and removing my silks, I threw them across the shoulders of Deja Thoris. As my arm rested for an instant upon her, I felt a thrill pass through every fiber of my being, such as contact with no other mortal had ever produced. And it seemed to me that she had leaned slightly toward me, but of that I was not sure. Only I knew that as my arm rested there across her shoulders, longer than the act of adjusting the silk required, she did not draw away, nor did she speak. And so, in silence, we walked the surface of a dying world, but in the breast of one of us, at least, had been born that which is ever oldest, yet ever new. I loved Deja Thoris. The touch of my arm upon her naked shoulder had spoken to me in words I would not mistake, and I knew that I had loved her since the first moment that my eyes had met hers, that first time in the plaza of the dead city of Korad.